Okay. But I was saying that God is, about a man who says he's called to preach. How would you know that a man is a preacher called from the Lord? Or what does it mean to be called from the Lord? First of all,
only Paul
can answer that question.
We have that problem. We all called
to what?
Well, we're definitely called to be
ministers of reconciliation. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation.
All right, because I think it's 1 Corinthians.
We've got to be equipped.
No, it's in Romans. Romans. Right.
So we're going to be vessels made for. For the
verse. Yep. Right. Yep. Romans, look at chapter 1, verse 1. First. Now, this is just an example. Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be what?
An apostle.
Separated unto the gospel of God. So we know Paul was called to be, we know his conversion, right?
Right.
The Lord called him audibly. He met him on the Damascus Road, said, keep going. I have chosen you to be a minister and a witness, and you will proclaim my name to kings, to children of Israel, to the Gentiles. And he even told Ananias the same thing, that he is my chosen vessel. Right? Okay, look at verse 7. He says, matter of fact, look at verse 5. By whom, by Christ, we have, this is Paul, he says, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. By the way, that's the problem today is Paul is telling you that we have received grace. He has enabled us to do what? To this apostleship, right? That's an office, right? Paul, that's an office of apostle, right?
Yes.
He didn't not for like Fred Price. When Fred Price was an apostle, they appointed him an apostle. Anybody see that? Anybody? He put on his robe. He put on this. He had his hat, he had his staff, and I like Fred Price. I listen to him sometimes, and this one particular day I caught him, and he was in his big chair. I guess that'd be his throne. It's a name for that, but I don't know what the name of it is. He's in his chair, and I said, Apostle Price? When did this happen? And that's a self-appointed position. Yes. Why would God need another apostle? Or does he need another apostle? That's the big deal about Paul. When he picked 12 out, that's the question that we should all ask. Why do we need a 13th apostle? We know when Judas fell, right? They knew it in Acts chapter 1. They knew that we need another one. Because the scripture said that this man will fall and let another one take his office. Not only that, we know that the promise to the Jews was that they would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So when Judas was replaced with Matthias, that made up 12, right?
Now the reason the argument is by a lot of churches is that they had no business rolling the dice from Matthias, and that Paul chose them. Well, that's what a lot of people
Right. They say that. What's wrong with that answer, though?
It's called eisegesis.
I mean, what else? What's scripturally wrong with that answer?
Well, I mean,
Paul wasn't with Christ from the beginning.
That's right.
He doesn't fit the rules.
Yeah.
He doesn't fit the qualifications. And yet, he was called to be an apostle, right? So, either he'll be, we have apostolic succession, like the Roman Catholic Church say we do, or something changed in God's criteria to be an apostle, right? Anyway, we get kind of sidetracked. Chapters, huh?
I said something changed in his criteria because he said he called no nobleman. And all of those were elders that had been schooled.
All who?
All the priests in the priesthood. They had gone through maybe like a seminary. But I'm not talking about his apostles.
You talking about the priests back here?
The Jewish priests.
Pharisees. Right. They had gone through schooling. So Paul really didn't fit the criteria,
The priests were, they came out of one tribe, out of the tribe of Levi.
Right.
Paul was out of the tribe of Benjamin. So, but anyway, and the priests, the family always, that was a succession. If you wanted to talk about succession, the priesthood was a succession. If I'm a Levite, then you my son,
right.
You the next in line.
Right.
And if you have a son, then he's in line as a Levite. It wasn't a training school. It was a family where he had chose that tribe to be the Levites, to be the keepers of the temple. They could have been ignorant, and most of them probably were. He just chose that tribe and designated them as the keepers of the temple. So I don't know if, I'm not saying that, I don't know where you got that idea that they were schooled. There was no school.
No.
You're talking about the priests, not the apostles.
I'm not talking about the apostles.
Yeah. I'm not either. I'm talking about the priests too. Levites. Priests. Okay. But anyway, that was just, I just didn't want you to go out thinking that the priests went to school to be a priest.
No.
Because,
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the general church. Paul didn't fit the criteria of the general church, where the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin council, you know, they all was great elders and they had studied the book. So that's why I said he was one of the ones that God had chosen. He said, I don't call any noble. That's what I was talking about. And it was as if he changed the criteria. That's why I said that.
Okay.
He changed the criteria. If you look at Paul, he wasn't fit. He was a sinner. So to me, he showed us. But he showed us through Paul that we could be used of God just as well. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Well, and we'll come back to that because that's
because they appointed themselves as,
all right,
as the smart ones and and they studied. You know, they knew the law. They knew the book. And I understand where you're coming from. And like me and Lawrence, you know, we never studied. Me never studied the book. Forget Lawrence; he didn't study. But and I'd look up to somebody like Frank. I look up to Ed. And I look up to you. And you.
Wait a minute! You don't look up to me.
Well, that's
okay,
Roy, let's
I look up to you.
Kind of
the knowledge you have.
Get back over here before I forget what I was thinking about. But the criteria of an apostle back here was one that had been with the Lord from the beginning of the ministry, from the baptism of John to the time that he was taken up in Acts chapter 1 in the resurrection. That was the criteria. Matter of fact, look at Acts.
Only two that qualified in Acts 1 because
right.
Two that fit that criteria.
Yeah, Matthew suggested that thing. But so you said Paul.
Right. See, he got a question. So how did he get it?
Yeah, I just thought maybe it was all sent by God. You know, they were given a special job.
Now this is back to what we were talking about last week. This is a dividing line. Not just for what we see right here, but before here, right?
Yeah.
Did we have any apostles back here?
Yes.
How many?
12.
12. All right. Acts chapter 1. Get it, yeah. Acts chapter 1. All right. And Acts 1. Before you get that, Matthew 10 and 19. And don't forget, we got to go back to Romans, though. Go to Matthew 10 first. Right. Now this is Christ
10:19
on earth. Matthew 10, right.
19. Matthew 10.
Matthew chapter 10.
Chapter 10.
Verse 1. Now, the question, which we won't get into that, but the question is, number one, why did he pick 12 out in the first place? Because we know they had 12 tribes, right? There was a time where there was a leader, God appointed leader over the tribes of Israel, a man over thousands. It's what the Lord had picked. He says, you pick out some men from Moses' time,
yeah,
where you make them captains over thousands. And each tribe had a captain over thousands. That was his recommendation, right?
Yeah,
and then the Lord, he had a structure about that. Mm-hmm. And he had a tribe, over every tribe there was a head or a judge. And we know what happened when we go through here. They began to do what they wanted to do, so they discarded those judges. So by the time Christ comes, everything is all haywire. They're doing what they want to do. There's no, the scribes and the Pharisees had taken over the religious and spiritual responsibilities, and they had corrupted the law. They were crooked judges. Everything was in rebellion. All those leadership was in rebellion. So when Jesus comes, that's what we were talking about that last week, where he talked about repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what John's baptism was, a baptism of repentance, a change of mind about where you are now. They were where they were, not us, where they were. They had strayed away from God's laws.
They were just going through the motions.
They were just going through the motions. Where you stuck at?
They enjoyed the power, is what you're saying.
Okay, I'm just saying they repent when John the Baptist was coming to repent. Also for the killing of the prophet and everything else, right?
All that was included.
It wasn't just a certain sin.
It was a certain sin too. But they were the whole nation. The leadership was in rebellion. When he comes, it wasn't like us, like you come and you get saved individually, you get saved individually, you get saved individually. This was a national. And that's where, when he comes, if I want to change this nation, where do I start? We going through it right now. You go to the top and you go down. Well, we're just waiting. We wait for the change. Don't we?
Yeah.
Blessed are those who hunger and seek after righteousness, for they shall be. That's us, little people. Am I, you with me?
Yeah.
That's us.
I'm right here.
So we're waiting for the judges to get it right. Right? So if they got me under the thumb, I need some relief. So Jesus comes and he says, the people need relief. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say that, but he said, I am coming to heal the brokenhearted, to give, to free the captives. Well, who is he talking about? He's talking about the nation, the people. They were not only in bondage to sin, but they were in bondage to the leadership. So in Matthew, when he goes through chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he's given some rules for how he would run the kingdom. That was his debate. He said, they said this, but I say this. You heard him say this, he said, but I say this. And he begins to lay it down, and he gets all the attention. He gets all the, because they hear it, and they say, wow. So he goes through this time frame, and then he gets to a point where he pulls out of all those followers, disciples, he pulls out 12. Mm-hmm. Chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You think Fred Price could do that?
No.
He's an apostle.
No.
Are you sure? Maybe he's done it and we just don't know about it yet, right?
No, he can't do it.
He can't do it. No, he can't do it. You know why I know he can't do it? Because he's getting old.
Yeah.
He's getting old, and then his wife had cancer at one time.
Yeah.
And you know, that was his pre apostolic days though. So I don't know how she got healed. I don't know. But anyway, he called the 12 disciples, right? And gave them power to cast out unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12
apostles.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
What did you catch? So they went from disciples. Okay, Berean. What is a disciple? And what is an apostle? So the students have now been what?
Promoted
or sent.
Okay.
Sent out to do what?
But he called them.
To have authority over them.
But he called them.
He elevated them.
No, right. They were They were already walking with him, right?
They were disciples, okay.
And he called his 12 disciples, right?
Yes.
He called his 12 disciples, and then he gave them power, and then he sent them out. Okay. Now, they've been believing already.
Right.
As a matter of fact, he's already called Peter and Andrew and James. He's already called them. They already believe, and then he called them again. Okay, and he sent them out to manifest the signs of the kingdom. Okay, now chapter 19.
Chapter
Matthew chapter 19.
A good year.
Good year. Yeah. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon
12 thrones.
Doing what? 12 thrones.
12 tribes.
Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Peter, this is the 12 that he's called aside. He says, we've left everything. What do we get? And he says, you get this position in the kingdom. And I don't know if it was, well, a couple of weeks ago, Ed asked a question. He said, no, that was last week. Last week. He says, when do they get this? And it was, he said, it was a big little word. It was when. It was future. When this happens, they'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel in the regeneration. That wasn't right then.
Right.
It's not right now.
Yeah.
Well, either the Lord lied or there's a future time coming when they will fulfill that promise to them.
So it's a fixed amount and it's for a specific time and in a specific place.
A fixed number.
Fixed number.
A fixed time.
And
a fixed number 12.
And a fixed place.
Fixed number. Fixed place, Jerusalem, fixed time, and the regeneration. We'll call that the regeneration is the kingdom. And here's one of those doctrines that I'll tell you about. There are some people that believe that God is done with the Jew. He's done with the Jew. We are the new Jew. We're the spiritual Jews. So there's no kingdom. It's all spiritual. All this happened back here is already fulfilled, and God is done with the Jew. That's just one promise you got to do away with. there's a whole lot more that you got to do away with if you chalk it up that God is through with the Jew. So, anyway, Acts chapter 1. Now they're proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and 12 is associated with Israel, the kingdom. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had
chosen,
to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he's referring back to his ministry, earthly ministry, when he started with them back here. Right? Okay. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time begin the body of Christ?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Will thou at this time what?
Restore again the kingdom to Israel.
And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Just for time's sake, look at verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took him, that took Jesus. By the way, that's a great verse for inspiration. Mm-hmm. That when they say, well, man wrote the Bible. Mm-hmm. Here you just read a verse that says that the Holy Ghost spake by what?
The mouth of David. The son of Judas.
David was a prophet. Mm-hmm. Back to last week. Mm-hmm. Who enabled David to speak?
No.
Whose words did David speak?
God's words.
The Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Everything you're reading here is words that the Holy Ghost told somebody to speak or somebody to write down. That's why you say, thus saith the Lord. And we talked about the prophets. When they speak, holy men of God spake. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's just one verse. Can you believe that verse? All right, let's see. Now, so if I'm reading this right, now, if I'm reading this, I believe that David said that, right?
Yeah.
What about what God is saying to me today?
Today.
When I read it, do I read it like a
newspaper?
Like a newspaper? Right. I pick what I want and leave out the rest. If he says, okay, let me get a good one. Think of a good one. That's all of us have our whatever we have problems with, right? Or favorite scripture. You know, it's a verse though, where I forget who the prophet was, where he says, "I don't like that prophet because he prophesies bad against me." They'll say, "I don't like that verse because that verse don't line up with what I want to do." That's all he was saying. So let's pick one that I'll pick one for myself, and you know your problem, your hang up, where scripture says this to me: husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now there's a lot of things that husbands and wives do or whatever to make you bitter. You bitter anyway, because it's in you. It's in you. Right? You don't need encouragement.
No.
But any little thing, you can. You can be bitter. Now, I could look at that and say, well, I can dismiss that. I don't like that verse. But who's saying that?
God.
Yeah, I see.
It's God speaking to you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
So my responsibility wouldn't be to her.
No.
My responsibility is to God. Right? That's
right.
That's where the doctrine, if you believe it.
Yeah, that's true.
If you believe it's the word of God, which if it's the word of God, not the word of men, when he says when you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. You know, Paul said, it really is the word of God, which works effectually in you that read it, and you that believe it, and you that believe it. He says, for he was numbered, 17, for he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Who is he? This is Judas.
Yeah.
Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, or his office, let another take. Wherefore, for this cause, Because we know the scripture where his office has to be replaced. Wherefore? Because this is, we have written instructions how to handle his vacancy. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied, with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, you had 3,000 followers, you had 5,000 followers, you had thousands of followers, right? But he says, this is the criteria. This is how God does the calling. Okay? This is how he does the calling. He does the calling with some what? And with his criteria has to be met.
Yeah.
It ain't just, well, we like him.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Like the guys in the class, one of the churches had to replace a pastor. And they began to take resumes. They were taking resumes from all over. And then finally one day I said, hey, I said, what are you doing? Have you ever looked at 1 Timothy? What's that? They are. It's a popularity contest. Or you're looking at resumes, that's not what God looks at. He has his own resume. Job description. So, but this man will say, I've been called to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And he rolls out his resume.
Yeah.
And says, this is where I studied. Where you said, this is where I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
This is the classes that I've been to. These are the seminars that I finished. These are the degrees that I have. And you look at that and say, wow. Paul had degrees, but he says, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. I was in the best law class under the best law teacher. Didn't he say that?
I was in Harvard Divinity School.
He was, and. Right, he was the Jerusalem University, right?
Jew U.
But he said, you said not many noble. But he said, the things that I learned from the nobles, I had to what? I had to discard it. The Jews, the apostles that he called, did you say it last week? He said, these are ignorant and unlearned men.
Yeah.
How did they get this language? Who gave it to him?
God gave it to him. Yeah.
God enabled them.
Mm-hmm.
He enabled those apostles, right?
Yeah.
Pre-resurrection,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Post-resurrection, he also enabled them, didn't he? He gave them power,
yeah.
And they began to do that. Okay. Twenty-three. And they appointed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias.
Mm-hmm.
And they prayed. Positive, and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen.
Amen.
Another positive. That they may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, and that he may go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay. The lot falleth into the lap, but the whole disposing is of the Lord. He did it. The lot was instituted by God. He's the one that said, I picked the lot. This is the process, but I picked it. I picked it. I did the picking.
You know what? I just realized something when you said that, because when I was doing a word study the other day on the word slight, it says slight of men. Slight specifically talks about shooting dice. And so he's calling it the slight of men. The dice of men, as opposed to divine dice.
Okay.
I just realized that.
Well, you know I got checked behind you on that, so I know about that one. But even after that, how do you know God approved of this? They acted on scripture. How do you know God approved it?
Because.
Well, let me ask you this. What would God do if he disapproved of the pick?
They wouldn't have been filled with the Holy Spirit.
They wouldn't have been filled with the Holy Spirit, would they? Look, if any man, and here's a good verse, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. So if he gave them the Spirit, guess what? He was his. He was going to be in agreement. Right? And he picked Matthias. But then you have somebody else that comes around and say, they made the biggest mistake they ever made picking Matthias, because it should have been Paul.
Yeah.
You know who said that? J. Vernon McGee said that. He did.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
He said they made a mistake.
I haven't heard that yet. Okay.
This is years. Hey, this a man with years of experience on the radio all the time. Going through the Bible.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, he sits with all that information staring him right in the face. You say, well, they made a mistake. They made a mistake because we like to be back here. We like this. We like to stay back here. It's a comfort zone. You trying to tell me that I can't do anything that Jesus said do on earth? That none of that applies to me? Yeah, it all applies to you. What he accomplished applies to you. But you don't want that. What he did back here, he did for you. To impute that to you. And Paul's the one that comes and tell you that though we have known him after the flesh, henceforth know we him
no more.
And he'll say that we are complete in him. When you look back at what he did on earth from the very birth to his resurrection, it was all for us. He was born of a virgin, right? Couldn't have sin, right? Even when he's 12 years old, which the age of servanthood, he was found where? Doing what? Doing his father's business, right? He walked through earth. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. He was baptized, circumcised, kept the law. His mother offered the sacrifices according to the law. They went up year after year according to the law. They couldn't find a blemish on him. He went through his whole life, and when he was on the cross, Pilate says, you know what? I've examined him. I find no fault in this man. And he says, well, I got to give you one. I can give you this man, or I can give you this man. I can give you Barabbas, son of the Father, or I can give you the real son of the Father.
Okay.
And they said, give us the imposter. Give us the murderer, a thief and a robber. Give us him. And yet, all that he accomplished for us, we get over here and Paul says, now, he says, you know why you don't have to be baptized? He told me now, as an apostle, he told me now that I can stop doing that. You don't know why he told me that? Because there's only one. Well, what about that one?
Only one baptism.
Right. It's only one baptism. You don't have to. That's your. Let me move on. That's Ed's. He's doing a study on that.
I just want you to clarify it.
Yeah,
because it's on the tape.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Stephen. Only one baptism.
There you go. Amen.
Anyway, I'll tell you what. That was not back to Romans 7, the verse I wanted.
Make sure we get to Ephesians 4 because you were taking us down a path.
How does
it go
when they're called?
All right, Ephesians 4.
The people that say that water baptism is supposed to be a picture, you know, of what has happened to us and everything, but isn't, when you really examine it, isn't it just a symbol of a symbol? That water baptism, it isn't a symbol of what happened to us, it's a symbol of a symbol.
A symbol of a symbol.
Let's go on to that.
Okay. What we're talking about, when he was resurrected, when it says he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, the same way he called them and empowered them to take that message out, is the same way when he was resurrected, where he called apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and empowered them to go out and take the message out. Okay. Now, Paul's saying, but it's not this message.
Right.
Okay. Right.
It's a new message.
Amen.
It's a message of grace.
Amen.
And it's not these. Why would he give some apostles over here when he already had 12 over here? Why not just take these and use them?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just take these 12 and use them over here? Why raise up one guy? Look at Thessalonians. Hold your hand in Ephesians and look at Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 1.
And after Peter or before Peter?
After Colossians, before. Keep going back the other way. No, the other way. Back.
That's right next door.
Yeah, right after.
Okay.
Right after that. There you go. Chapter 1,
uh-huh.
Verse 4. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed. Chapter 2. Verse 3.
1 Thessalonians
2, verse 3. This is Paul. He's talking about Silvanus, Timothy, and himself. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the
apostles
of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, being so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Now, he says, guess who was an apostle with him? Timothy? Silas? And they were writing to the Thessalonians. He didn't list Barnabas, Epaphroditus, Epaphras. He had a whole bunch of apostles that labored with him. And you say, well, wait a minute. How did they get to be apostles? You got 12, Paul's 13, Silas 14, Timothy 15. Wait a minute. So, look like Fred Price got an argument, don't he? But, again, these are supernatural. They've been empowered to take this message out.
By God. But Paul said it.
Huh?
Okay, you're right. Okay.
No, say it again. I didn't hear you.
Word says apostle. God said the apostle.
Right here. When he resurrected, he empowered these.
He gave
those offices were gifts for the body. And then when they began to get this word together, and we finally got it together, he says, now, we don't need any more gifted men supernaturally to do this now. And to prove it is, look at where we are. Look at where we are now. The Lord called me. What is the revelation of the mystery? Never heard of that.
Yeah.
Or who's the apostle for the day? Paul? They don't say that.
No.
When's the last time you turned the TV on and heard the gospel of the grace of God preached to you?
Only when I can get Les Feldick or Richard Jordan.
So, but, and even those of us who do it, was Paul wrong and ever wrong in his teaching?
No.
How about Peter?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
You bet he was. He was wrong in his practice.
He was
rebuked by who?
By Paul.
Who is Paul?
An apostle.
The previous apostle was rebuked by the current apostle for not walking in a doctrine that he knew was right. Because this apostle, like Ed's lesson last week, is why didn't you preach baptism when you was doing this? Because I didn't have to. So here's Peter or Paul over here, and he says, why did you leave? When James came, why did you leave? And you know what? Here's the rest of everybody sitting out there, all the group there. And before, he went privately to talk to him, didn't he?
Yeah.
In Galatians, he says, I don't want to run in vain, so you guys come to the side. Let's talk about this. This is what God's doing. But when he got to Galatians, he says, hey, why did you leave? You bet he got the attention. What are they talking about? You know, you say I always point at you, don't you?
I don't care. Just do your thing.
You know there's no...
Feel bad.
I'm just using an example.
I feel like an apostle right there.
You know there's no difference. Now, why did you leave? And then you got them all sitting there looking. Mm-hmm. He says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Didn't he say that?
Yeah. Hopefully.
And isn't it funny? I think Ed mentioned this. Is after Paul gets saved, a few chapters later, you don't hear anything else about these guys.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything about them. Where did they go?
Wasn't the Lord trying to tell Peter that when you move it to a different program?
And that's what you were saying last week. He had to why would God just, if it's time for us to go, if I just stop and say, okay, see y'all later, cut the lights out and leave, what would you say? What is he doing?
We're not finished.
That's out of order. Why would God just drop the program and then jump over to Paul without giving them some notice? Right? God is an orderly God. So what he does is he takes the leader, Peter, and he says, didn't he give him the keys in Matthew? He says, now, whatsoever you bound, whatsoever you loose on earth, he said, you're my man. You're my man. Okay? I'm giving you the authority to make these decisions. So, when he gets ready to do something, I got to tell the man in charge. So he says, I'm going to send it. That's why Peter, Paul goes up. He says, now I met with him and I abode with Peter 15 days. Why Peter?
Amen.
And Peter, why show Peter the vision?
So that Peter could be there to confirm it when Paul...
Well, told him Peter was
so, now, I was just in a Sunday school class last week, and the teacher said this. He was talking about the apostles when they were separated, when they were scattered abroad, the persecution. He said they went out everywhere, the preaching the word to the Jews only, except the apostles. And somebody said, why did the apostles stay in Jerusalem? And he said, well, I don't know. He said, maybe they wanted to, you know, stay there and enjoy the comforts of Jerusalem or something like that. And I'm thinking, wow, that's...
Well, you said it in the first place. He said, I don't know, maybe...
Yeah, she should emphasize that. But anyway, I'm way off the Romans chapter 7.
Did you finish Ephesians 4 when you went to Mary the Best Long?
That's where he empowered those people to.
Okay,
just like he empowered them.
We finished that before we moved on to the next.
Okay.
Okay, Romans what?
And the reason I'm saying that he's not doing that now is the proof is in the pudding. Where, why would God call a man to tell you a lie? And propagate a lie. And he says that this is for your edification, then he sends a man to break you down spiritually. That's why Paul said this. He says, I've laid the foundation and another build on this foundation.
Yeah.
To the Corinthians who were in a situation where they were being accosted by false apostles. Apostles. He says, now you are suffering these guys. They come and they take from you. They smite you in the mouth. And you are all right with that. But here I'm coming, the true apostle, your father in the Lord, and you don't want me. He said, matter of fact, the more I love you, the less you love me. Didn't he say that? Romans 7. And I know this didn't answer your question, but
that's all right. There's always next week.
Hopefully the Lord can piece some things together for us. And it's Romans 7. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 7. The whole thing was, what are we called to? And we ended up way over there. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to be
saints.
That's what you're called to. And the gospel calls us all.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You ever seen the song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh, sinner, be an apostle. He said, oh, sinner, come home. Now, when we answer that call by faith, then you become a, not an apostle, but an ambassador. Right? That goes from the top to the bottom, from Fred to Ed.
And beyond.
Now, what would make a man say, I'm an apostle?
Flesh.
That's because you want to think of yourself more highly than right. You ought to think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or even Paul said this. He says there was given to me a thorn in the flesh because of the abundance of revelations that I received. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. The Lord gave me this. Lest I should be exalted. But what we do are, we are what? Exalted above measure. You know, he said this. He said, we were affectionate and desirous of you that we would not only give you the gospel of God, but our own souls. Do you see that today?
No.
What they do now is kind of Saulish. It's a little Saul-like behavior. They take from us. They take. They always got the hand open, but it's never giving you things. It's getting from you.
And they're put on the pedestal.
That's something wrong with that. The apostles of God didn't do that. They, matter of fact, Epaphroditus, he says, for he has given his, he was near unto death for you. He was addicted to the ministry that he said in Romans, but he says here, he has given his life for the ministry of the saints. That's not, you don't see that today. So, anyway, yes.
I had never heard them called apostles. Titus and Epaphroditus. I've never heard of that.
What, you want to look at the verse again? That's what they were. When Paul said this, he says that the mystery is now revealed unto us, not like in time past, but is revealed now unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. He's not talking about these guys.
All right.
The prophets back here, most of them are dead. He's talking about the new apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, right. Teachers.
Now, who them called pastors?
Yeah.
They're apostles.
Now, if you go somewhere and this man, he says, I'm a gifted. You know how you get this? The same way everybody gets it. Is open the book up, ask the Lord to show you, and believe what you read.
Amen. I guess.
Well, where do you go to?
Huh?
Where do you go to? I mean, it's a big book.
You go where your apostle says go. You read that, and then you branch out from there.
Amen. Oh, so called them fellow laborers.
Fellow laborers, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for...
Would you turn it off as your way over and I want to keep it on the same page?
Suffering?
No, I'm not...